Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, let's open God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, Gigi walked in, so I don't know if the rapture is going to occur this morning or not. It may. Gigi, you look so good. I don't know what you're going to do, though, out of New York. Well, she took everything. Well, I look forward to talking with you and see what's going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope we get into it this morning. I doubt we'll complete it. But this will probably be one of the most important lessons for the whole New Testament that we'll do. And it is just absolutely essential that we understand what's going on this morning. But I don't know if when we'll get to it in our study and how far we'll get into it. But let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. We're dealing with the problems in the church, the local church. And I found it interesting, we're dealing with what to do when excommunication, how do you do that. It was very interesting in the judicial system here that, I guess it was this last week, I meant to bring it out and read it, but some church wanted to get rid of someone who didn't want to leave. And so it's now gone into a court thing. So what happens if let's say everyone agrees that this believer is not in line? Oh, I know what it was. It was accepting someone who did not believe what the church believed and was actually staying there to undermine the teaching and change it. And do they have, does the church have a right to deny them not only membership but admission? And that comes into what we're studying. Let's say that we do agree that the incestuous believer should not be a member here. What can we do legally about that? And those are the things that we're dealing with and have dealt with and will continue to deal with through 1 Corinthians. But this morning, we've moved on a little bit beyond that, so let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is it's not a traditional prayer. People, I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. We need the Holy Spirit to see and to understand the truth of Scripture. So let's spend a moment to test ourselves, see if we're trusting in the Spirit to open our eyes to the truth of the Scripture. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this morning, for the opportunity to come, to open up the Scriptures, to allow Your Spirit to open our eyes to the things You would have us to see and to understand from the Scriptures in our own life and in this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, now coming off of verse 3, I have already judged. And then in verse 5, you have the infinitive of what the judgment is, to deliver such a one over to Satan. And we spent time on dealing with turning someone over to Satan, what that means. Jesus Christ turned Peter over to Satan. Jesus Christ turned Job over to Satan. So this is not the loss of salvation. And we spent quite a lengthy time dealing with being turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, not his soul. And that the Spirit may be saved and delivered in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now we come to verse 6. Your boasting that is going on in this assembly, the real problem is not the incestuous believer. The real problem are the believers in the church of Corinth. So, you're boasting, not good. And then he says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And so this is where we left off last Sunday morning. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Now, what we have going on is a boasting. As we're going to see, the leaven here is the leaven of boasting. And you can become arrogant about your tolerance of sin. In other words, well, We allow, not only do we allow homosexuals, we invite them, and we encourage their lifestyle. We encourage the lifestyle of an adulteress. We encourage the lifestyle of fornicators. This is a church. Sinners belong here. Yes, this is the hospital. But you don't encourage that activity that is in opposition to the truth. But this is a place where they need to be. But you don't continue to do it. And so the boasting is, well, look how liberal-minded we are. That's a boast that is wrong. They have an idle and wrongful boast. And this is what we have going on in a great deal of churches and homes today. One day, the mother and dad understand, just picking on it because it's so popular in our day and time, homosexuality is wrong. Their son is a homosexual. Well, we've come to see that it's okay. Well, now, wait a minute. You love him. You love your child, all these wonderful things, but you don't change what's right and what's wrong, and then boast about it. So they're boasting about their sin. And then he says, in our passage, do you not know? And there's the great problem, not knowing Scripture. And many people do not know Scripture because of the failure of the church today to teach the Word of God and to preach stories, feel-good stories. But we want to understand what the Word of God says. Then he says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And of dough is not in the original. That's put in there for us bachelors who do not cook or anything, so that we'll understand these things, what's going on. That's why they added that for people like me. Okay, now, we're taking a look at the doctrine of leaven. What leaven is and what leaven isn't. And we've moved through on the doctrine of leaven. Point one, very quickly, we've took it up in various things. Leaven to raise the cells. It talks about an agitation. And I'm putting these words together because I want you to see, if we can imagine that our lump of dough is the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. By grace through faith, faith only, faith alone, in the person of Christ. Now, when we add leaven to it, we agitate the gospel. Intense activity is what we're talking about. Then we noted point two, the leaven principle has three things you want to remember about leaven. One, first of all, the insignificant quantity required. You just change that gospel just a little bit. Invite Jesus into your heart. Make him Lord. Add things that man, verbs where man does something. Faith is a non-meritorious verb. Faith is where man doesn't do anything. God does everything. But when I want to have man be a part of it, I'll change it to where man gets to do something. I invited Jesus. I made him Lord. I repented. I did this. I did that. No, it's by faith and faith alone. You've added something that agitates. Now, Paul in Galatians says distorts. But here we're talking about leaven that agitates that lump of dough. It agitates the gospel. And it doesn't take much. They don't take the gospel away from you. That's very important. They don't take the gospel away. They just add leaven. Add a little agitation. Distort it just a little bit. And that's what we want to understand. It doesn't take much. Well, it's not a big deal. They say invite. We say believe. No, people. We've got to stay with the purity of the gospel. This is what's important. Secondly, the penetrating force of that amount of leaven. So it doesn't take much, but the second thing is the penetrating force. How that will penetrate now. How that penetrates the whole gospel. I can go from, well, you had to do that to be saved. You had to invite. Now you have to confess. Now you have to be good. Now you have to. And I've added to it. It starts just growing and growing and growing. Once you allow that little leaven in, it opens up for everything. And then the third is the effect of that small amount on the entire lump of dough. People, a little leaven will not hurt you. It'll kill you. A little legalism will not hurt you. It'll kill you. A little religion will not hurt you. It'll kill you. And that's what we have to understand. There are just areas in the Word of God that we cannot just back off. And then we noted point three. In the Bible, leaven represents evil. We dealt with that. Point four, leaven is first used in the Bible in Exodus 12, 15 through 19, related to the feast of the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. Now we begin with point five. Point five, we have various leavens mentioned in the Bible. It's like spiritual gifts. I don't think this is all of them, but we're going to look at the ones that are mentioned in the Bible. So first of all, we have the leaven, we have the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Okay, we have the leaven of the Pharisees. Verse 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of the multitudes had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. Okay. What is important about hypocrisy here? Hypocrisy is not what most people think of when they think of hypocrisy. When most people, most Christians think of hypocrisy, they say, okay, he claims to be saved, he claims to be a Christian, but he sins. That's not the hypocrisy that God's looking at. The hypocrisy that God is looking at is, you claim that you're saved by works when you're saved by grace. That's the hypocrisy. Well, I did something. Oh, I invited Jesus into my heart. Oh, I made him Lord. I went to church. I do this. I tithe. And that's why God blesses me. Because that's hypocrisy. You've moved away from grace. The grace of God is constant. It's God doing. Our receiving. So what we're talking about with hypocrisy is anytime a person tries to take credit for something that comes by grace, that's hypocrisy to God. And that's the leaven of the Pharisees. We pray, we give alms, we do this, we do that, we know the scriptures, all these type of things. That's hypocrisy. I'm blessed by God because I do. No, I'm blessed by God because of who and what Christ is. I'm blessed by God because of who and what the Holy Spirit is. I'm blessed by God because I live by faith. And that's what God responds to, is our faith. So, before God, hypocrisy is portraying yourself as having earned something from God. People, the flesh cannot earn from God. This is a fundamental theological point. You have to understand our nature. We cannot earn anything from God. Our righteousness, not our sins, our righteousness is as minstrel calls before Him. That's disgusting. Completely disgusting. And if that is our good, boy, what are our sins before Him? If our righteousness is His minstrel calls, what must our sin be? People, we have nothing to earn from God. We cannot offer God. And where did we learn this? See, it's so vital that we understand the first three chapters of Genesis. But Cain goes up to God, and he offers God his very best. The fruit of the ground, his very best. God doesn't want it. Cain comes and offers a lamb that speaks of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. He does not want our works. And that's one of the most difficult things to get people to understand in regard to the truth. So hypocrisy before God is portraying, claiming that you've earned something from God. A hypocrite to God is one who is saved by grace through faith and claim they earned it. John MacArthur, and I know this for a fact, was saved by a different gospel than he presents today. He was saved by a gospel of grace through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He tells people a different gospel now. People, he's added 11. We've got to be so careful of the leaven. And that is a hypocrite to God. Well, I do something so God is nice to me. I tithe so God is best to me. That's a hypocrite before God. We do not get from God because we do for God. Religion is man doing for God. Christianity is God doing for man. Look at Matthew 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read two sections in Matthew 16. First of all, let's read verse 6 and 8. Verse 6, first of all. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now drop down to verse 11 and 12. "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And this is a great movement for the Jews, by the way. Everything to them is, we're saved by the rituals, we're saved by this, we're saved by the sacrifices. No, these things teach you things. And when they realize, wait a minute, he's not even talking about bread. We've been making this big issue about bread. He's not even talking about the bread. He's talking about the teaching. Multitude of churches have been fermented, agitated by the leaven of the Pharisees. So many people are convinced that they have to do something for God in order for God to save them, restore them as believers who are in sin, back to the filling of the Spirit, to be blessed of God. I've got to do something. This is from our flesh nature. Always remember the basic instinct of man. The basic instinct of man is not sex. The basic instinct of man is to perform and be rewarded for it. Think about the way we rear our children. We perform and we're rewarded. We've done this with God now. I perform and God rewards. So that's the leaven of the Pharisees very quickly. Now, secondly, the leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Sadducees, which we just read a connotation of. What is the leaven of the Sadducee? The leaven of the Sadducee is the evil of cosmic thought, philosophy of man, deception of man, wisdom of man, psycho-heresy of man, empiricism, mixing human thought with divine truth. Ephesians 5:6 calls these empty words. Colossians 2:8, philosophy and empty deception. Colossians 2:23 would be religious thoughts. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 20, false knowledge. This is the leaven of the Sadducees. Okay, the third one is rather interesting. Leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. We're going to be studying on Wednesday night. We're almost through with the fourth trial of Jesus Christ, the trial before Pilate. Then we'll go to the fifth trial, the trial before Herod. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 8 a moment. Mark chapter 8. Okay, Mark chapter 8. Let's read verse 15. And he was giving orders to them saying, this is Jesus Christ speaking, "Watch out! Watch out!" In a few moments when we get into Daniel, we're going to be studying being on alert. Watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now we've just looked at the leaven of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. Now what is the leaven of Herod? The leaven of Herod is the leaven of expediency. The evil of political expediency, exploitation to benefit yourself. Herod will exploit Jesus Christ. An expediency in getting rid of Jesus Christ. The leaven of Herod, and we'll see this when we come to the fifth trial, the leaven of Herod is a leaven of politics. Promote yourself. While Jesus Christ is taught, is treated in a horrible way, he is boasting himself before the people. Herod represented the leaven of politics, which always, people, you've got to understand something historically. Politics is against Jesus Christ and against the Bible, the Word of God. It cannot have those in it. That's why in America, there has been a very strategic movement to remove the Bible from the judicial system and from the educational system, and as much as it can from churches. To remove the Bible. It has to. It will not go along with their agenda. So the leaven of Herod is the leaven of politics. Politics must always get rid of those who stand for the Bible, who stand for morality. And we're seeing this right now on Wednesday night in the fourth trial of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees will make three accusations against Christ. The first one, he is a troublemaker. Now, we saw Wednesday night, we're going to have to get used to this. Who are the troublemakers today? The troublemakers today are those who want to go back and stand on the foundation of our Constitution, stand on the foundation of the Bible upon which it came from. It has been perverted. Now, if after the perversion of it, then you have people that want to go back to the truth, they are the troublemakers. You Christians are causing trouble. You're not for homosexuality. You're not for immorality. You're not for the government taking care of everyone. You're not for all of these things. You're a troublemaker. Jesus Christ was a troublemaker. The law taught the truth. The Pharisees taught you have to be righteous by the law. Jesus Christ comes along and says, no, you're not righteous by the law. That stirred up the Jews. Wait a minute. The Pharisees say we're righteous by the law. You say we're not righteous by the law. You're causing trouble. Who's really right here? See, the law was pure. They perverted it, and then they called Jesus Christ the perversionist. They called him the troublemaker because he wants to go back to the original. He wants to go back to what it really is. He wants to go back, as it were, to the gospel of grace by faith. But whenever you add works, anytime someone says faith and faith alone for salvation, spirituality, blessings from God, that turns on the light that's not what I'm teaching. I'm saying you have to be good. I'm saying you have to invite. I'm saying you have to make him Lord. I'm saying it's related to sin. I'm saying it's related to knowledge. I'm saying it's related to service. You're saying it's just related to faith. That turns on the light. Turn out that light. That light is wrong. That light is causing trouble. We cannot have that. So who are the troublemakers? Who is the troublemaker? Jesus Christ. Why was he a troublemaker? And indeed he was. He was teaching the truth. And it was different than what they had been taught in the synagogues. It was different from what they'd been taught from the Sanhedrin. And he was coming along teaching grace, teaching about the kingdom of God. They didn't want that. That would take their jobs. That would take their authority, their power. He's causing trouble. And that's what the truth will do. Thinking that I came to bring peace, no division. I'll divide mother and father, son and daughter. I'll divide these people. The truth will do that, people. So we just have to understand here the leaven of Herod. The leaven of politics. Politics must get rid of the Bible. It must. It had to get the Bible out of the judicial system. What grounds do they have today on making any moral decision in the Supreme Court with the Bible gone? Nothing. It's all that we're all animals. We are all evolutionary products who need to be taken care of. And that's all there is. So first of all, strategically, get rid of the Bible. Get rid of the Bible in schools. Now you don't teach creation. We're all evolution. It's all designed by Satan, what he wants to do. So they have to get rid of the Bible. They have to get rid of Jesus Christ. They have to get rid of those who not only believe in Jesus Christ, but want to follow Jesus Christ. So the Bible glorifies God, praises God. They don't want that. They can't have that. And so many churches today try to teach politics from the pulpit and end up compromising the truth of the gospel with their leaven. Problem in America is not politics. Problem in America is not Hollywood. Problem in America is the pulpit. The pulpit has let America down by not teaching the Word of God. Inerrant, infallible, verse by verse of the Word of God. There's the problem. And we're reaping the benefit of what's going on in the church. So, do not put your hopes in the leaven of Herod. It's not about America, people. I'm sorry. It's not about our Constitution. It's about this book. And as Christians, we better know that. It's about Christ. It's about God and Christ. Nations come and go, and the body of Christ continues. And yet very few Christians are taught consistently the Word of God. And then the fourth leaven mentioned in the Bible is the leaven of the Galatians. The leaven of the Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Galatians 5, verse 9. The leaven of the Galatians is the leaven of evil. The leaven of legalism. Leaven in spirituality. Leaven in salvation. All right, look at Galatians 5, 9. But now... Wait a minute, I'm in chapter 4, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Okay? What is he talking about? In context, they have been saved by the pure gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. How are you filled with the Spirit? By faith. How are you saved? By faith. How are you filled with the Spirit? By faith. All these. But now, the Judaizers, the religious crowd, have come in and they have put in their leaven. No, it's by works. It's by doing. They have distorted the gospel. The book of Galatians is trying to live by a different gospel than that by which you were saved. And this happens to too many Christians. They try to live by a different gospel than the gospel by which they've been saved. We have been saved by the gospel of Christ, by the gospel of grace. Now we're trying to live by the gospel of works, by doing and doing and doing for God. Now that you're saved, you have to do for God. Wait a minute. I couldn't do for God as an unbeliever. We cannot do for God in the flesh. God has to do for us. So that's the leaven of the Galatians. And finally, let's note the leaven of the Corinthians. And that takes us now to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. See how quickly I got back to it? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The leaven of the Corinthians. And just trying to summarize and pull together the leaven of the Corinthians, it's the leaven of arrogance. The leaven of arrogance. People, arrogance is the strongest agitation in a human being, in a creature. Arrogance is what caused the greatest creation of God, Lucifer, the seal of God's perfected creative creation, and Lucifer became arrogant about how well he had been created by God. And his arrogance caused him to fall. Arrogance is the fault of the woman in the garden. We just studied Daniel chapter 4, the arrogance of Nebuchadnezzar. He was so convinced, you recall, that he had built the great Babylonian Empire, how great he was, the arrogance of Nebuchadnezzar. To get him to see the truth of the gospel, God had to bring him down. So he became an animal. Like an animal, even though he was human. This is the arrogance, the leaven of arrogance. It is the strongest inside of every one of us. If you don't think you're arrogant, you're deceiving yourself, and you're not aware of your biggest enemy. Your biggest enemy is yourself. People, the immune system, which we're all familiar with today in our society, the immune system, the most important one thing about an immune system, it has to be able to identify self. And that's why people with allergies up here, people with allergies, they have a breakdown in their immune system. The immune system has failed to recognize that what these things are not bothering the real self, but they think they are. And so we have our immune system. Something comes into our body. The immune system sends out its T cells. There's something foreign. Something foreign. Go get it. Identification of self. So arrogance, jealousy, anger, all these sins like this, mental attitude sins, all of these are the defense mechanisms of self. Self feels threatened. Somebody else is complimented. Somebody else looks good. Somebody else gets promoted. Somebody else this, somebody else that. And boy, you just stand, wait, what about me? What about my kid? My kid won the game in soccer last week, hitting the main ball, the goal ball. Now, you can talk about it, but my kid, why do we do these things? Protecting ourselves. We're arrogant. It's the self person. That's why people, faith is the battle. Faith is antithetical to self. Under faith, I can't do anything. And we don't want to admit that. Faith, we have to go against our flesh nature. When we go to faith, we have to say, I can't do this. I can't save myself. I can't restore myself from sin. I can't bless myself. I can't be right before God. I can't be righteous. All these things. I have to completely depend on Him. It's the battle of faith that we battle every day because of the horror of arrogance. So we not only tolerate in Corinth homosexuality, we invite them and do not encourage them to restrain. And we take pride in our openness. But in Corinth, their leaven of arrogance is in regard to how they function and all these things. And that's what we're in the midst of looking back. So let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, now verse 7. Paul says something interesting. It's going to introduce a very important study. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as in fact you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Why is he combining all these different things? Clean out the leaven, even though you are unleavened, and Christ's Passover has been signed. What does all this have to do together? What does this mean? Okay, first of all, this comes from the custom of the Jews in putting away leaven at a celebration of the Passover and the unleavened bread. Meaning, the verb here means to clean out thoroughly. Clean out thoroughly. This does not mean to clean your house like a bachelor might. I'm very good at superficial cleaning. Just, you walk in there, boy, it looks good. Don't open any closet. Don't open any drawer. And don't wipe a white glove around. Just enjoy the cleanness of it. No, this means get down on your knees with brush in hand. Take a candle in the corners ceremoniously and look and see if there's any leaven. Now, what we're going to see here is what is so important. This is an imperative. This is something we must do. This is something we have to do. And yet, people, and now I'm moving into a little bit of the most important study that we'll do as far as the New Testament is concerned and Christianity. The imperative mood is the furthest removed from reality. The imperative mood is the furthest removed from reality, meaning that not everyone is going to do this. We're going to see a lot of interesting things about the imperative mood. And people, I'm not dealing with third level grammar book. I'm dealing with the first level any seminary, college student gets in the Greek language. Dana and Manny, it is the furthest removed from reality. When you have an imperative, it does not mean, think about this now, the imperative in the Greek does not even mean possibility. It does not mean probability. I'm going to summarize and right now for you the imperative mood. And then I'm going to develop it for you. The imperative mood is it expresses the will of God. Be holy as I am holy. Clean out the leaven. That's the will of God. Secondly, the imperative mood should alert us, I can't do that. That should have been the first thing that, and when they gave the Ten Commandments, so we'll go back and look at that. Oh, we can do that. You can't do that. But we can do it. The second most important principle about an imperative, it shows you can't do it. Three, you're totally dependent on God to fulfill it. But what most people do, they see the imperatives. Oh, you got to straighten out your life. You got to do this. You got to do that. You cannot do it. So we're going to develop this in our work here. Another issue with this word is that this word is used in some cases referring to the accusative of what is to be removed. What is it that is unclean and needs to be removed? So we got to deal with it. In some cases, we have the accusative of what is to be removed. In our study, leaven. But look at 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy a moment. Second Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, see that word cleanses? That's our word. That's our word, to purge, to cleanse. Cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. As you can see here, it is the believer that is to be cleansed. In Corinth, it is the leaven that needs to be cleansed out. Here is the believer that needs to be cleansed. Not cleansed of leaven, but of things mentioned in this very chapter. So let's look at a couple of things, since we're here, of some things that he's talking about that we need to be cleansed of. In context. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's just take a look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 2:14, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers, idle debates, philosophy and traditions of man. Look at verse 16. But avoid worldly and empty chatter. For it will lead to further ungodliness, division in the assembly. Look at verse 18. Men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some. People, it's amazing how people like to upset the faith of others. My biggest example here is that Paul gives us the rapture of the church, and he says, encourage one another with these words. What have we done? Well, wait. Are you pre-trib? Are you mid-trib? Are you post-trib? And we divide over it. He said encourage. What do we do? Well, let's all first of all divide, and then we'll courage up our own little group. It's a shame. It's a shame what we do to Scripture. But here we're talking about the cleansing himself. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have the accusative of what is to be purged out, clean out the old leaven. Now, this comes from the custom of the Jews in putting away leaven at the celebration of the Passover and the unleavened bread. Now, we read it last week, so we won't read it today. Exodus chapter 12, 14 through 20, where they are exhorted to clean out the leaven, getting ready for the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Now, to fulfill this exhortation requires some insight. First, people, you have to know what leaven is in your life. You have to know what leaven is in the local church. You have to know what leaven is in your own soul. In Thyatira, which we studied at the beginning of this study, as well as here in Corinth, leaven is easy to identify. But there's a lot of leaven that is not so easy to recognize, like arrogance. Arrogance is one of the most difficult of the leavens to recognize. Because, well, what's wrong with me? I'm good. I'm doing it right. You're the one wrong. Arrogance is very difficult. So, the old leaven. Clean out the old leaven. What is this referring to, the old leaven? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Clean out the old leaven. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, lived, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's our former life. And people, we have to be trained, not judged, not ridiculed, but taught from the Word of God what God expects from us. Years ago, when I first in the ministry, this month I've been in it 39 years, but years ago, I had a couple come in. They believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, sat in church. Most of the people thought they were married. I knew they weren't. No issue. No problem in the church. Let it go. I'll never forget the Sunday. He called Saturday and said, "Can we come over after church tomorrow and have a serious talk?" I said, "Sure." They came over. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "We're living in sin, aren't we?" Talking about he and his girl. And I said, "Yeah." Just smiled, "Yeah." He said, "Wow, and you never judged us. Well, will you marry us?" See, the Holy Spirit did it. The Word of God did it. That's the deal. They didn't even know. It's just so accepted today. And I'm afraid that in our churches, fornication is just overwhelmingly accepted. Adultery is overwhelmingly accepted. Forget about the perversions. Just normal wrongful sex is just overwhelming in our society. And people just think nothing about it. People, we've got to understand leaven. What it is, where it is. And it comes from the old manner of life. It comes from our sin, flesh, nature. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, that's as an unbeliever, you lay aside the old self. Now we're going to have to study how. How do you lay aside the old self? This becomes an issue. Preacher, stand up, be filled with the Spirit. How? I'll get that later. You know, lay aside the how. See, if it's a how am I saved? Ah! That one I can answer. Believe in Jesus Christ. Or wrongfully invite Jesus and that type of thing. But when it comes to how are you filled with the Spirit? How are you restored from sin? How do you lay aside your former manner of life? Well, you just dig in there with the flesh. That's wrong. You don't do that anymore. Bear down. Bear down. That's it. See? No, that's not what you do. But we'll take a look at it. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's the first clue to how we're going to do this. And put on the new self, second birth, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness. That goes back to the 10 questions of Job, the great issue, and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you. Well, see, all right, I got it now. I cannot lie about somebody else, so I need to work on not doing that. No. The unbeliever can do that, people. An unbeliever can say, you know what, I need to stop stealing. I need to stop gossiping. Is that just what God is looking for? No. We'll take a look at this. Verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Married couples, don't go to bed fighting. Stay up all night and fight. No. That was a joke. All right. Verse 26. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals, steal no more. Well, that's simple. I just, in the flesh, stop stealing. That's what God wants. God will be happy. No, that's not what we're dealing with here, people. We'll take a look at it. But rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We got to grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? We grieve the Holy Spirit by right out sinning. That grieves Him. We quench the Holy Spirit when we refuse to listen to Him. Go witness. Go to Bible class. Do this. Do that. And we do not. That quenches Him. Best example I can give you. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Picking on a man. Has an extramarital relationship. That's grieving. What's quenching? He comes home from work. She reaches out amorously. He's had a rough day. He's had a bad day. And he just snaps. Well, what's going to happen? Quench. She pulls back her hand. Okay. And that's what we do to the Holy Spirit. When we quench Him, we don't listen to Him. So, here we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's 11. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another. What does that mean? How are you kind to one another? Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So, these are the leavens from our old nature, our former way of life. And we have to understand these are antithetical to who we are in Christ. But how do we not do them when they are part of our nature? Look at Colossians chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Colossians chapter 3. I love the very beginning of Colossians 3. If it's a first-class condition, since then, you have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above. Don't seek the things on this earth. Stress, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, on and on and on, all come when related to this earth. These things don't come when you keep your eyes set on the things above. Keep seeking the things above, not on earth, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. There's where the battlefield is, people. The battle is in your mind. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, nobody knows that I'm here. Nobody likes me. Nobody respects me. I don't get any praise. I don't get any reward. People don't tell me how a great guy I am, how a wonderful person I am. It's not about down here. It's not about down here. They crucified our Lord. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, should be, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Now here's the leaven we want to purge out. Consider the members of your body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them as unbelievers. Verse 8. But now you also put them all aside. Anger. Look at this list. Anger. You ever get angry? Uh-oh. Well, don't forget about when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts in front of you. Don't forget that one. Wrath. There are so many TV shows. There is Snapped, all the ID series, murders, rapes. They've got Who in the Blank Did I Marry? Among the Rich, the Murder. It's just a wonderful world we live in with man's sin nature. But always remember. Always remember the first family on earth. A brother murdered a brother. And it's downhill from there. It doesn't go up. It goes down from there. Okay. But now, you also, put them all aside. That's the purging out of the leaven. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self. That's what happened when we believed in Christ as Savior. Who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, the church. Circumcised or uncircumcised, no performance. Barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all in all. People, it's about Jesus Christ. That is who it's about. Now let's close by going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Pull all of this together. Get ready for next week now. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. In order that you may be a new lump. Clean out the old leaven. Purge it out. Why? In order that you may be a new lump. But this phrase must always be read immediately by the next phrase. Just as you are in fact unleavened. What is Paul doing? Paul is calling us to live who we are in Jesus Christ. People, you got to know who you are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you won't know how to live. We are to live who we are in Christ. We have two important verbs. In order that you may be. Subjunctive mood. See, you are present active indicative, absolute status quo. You are, in fact, unleavened. That's who and what you and I are. This is what we are. While the word is not mentioned here, this is experiential sanctification. What it's all about. Being who you are in Christ. The moment that every one of us believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, He gives you, Lewis Berry Chafer has listed 34 things that are given to you immediately. You want to know what your inheritance is? You want to know what belongs to you? He's given you 34 things. Be content with them. Don't try to find things in the world. Stress, anxiety, depression, sad, are results of living on earth. Whenever I experience sad, I know something. Whenever I experience anger, sad, depression, jealousy, all these things, I know. Hey, you're not in the spirit, Herman. Nobody has to tell me. Nobody has to check. Hey, you're not in the spirit. I know that. I know that. These things come from living on earth. These things come from the flesh nature. I want my way. I want to be in control. See? So, we got to understand who we are in Christ. Then the real secret is living who we are in Christ. And we did a long study on this in our SAD study, sad study. So, this is where we are. Well, we'll pick it up here next week and get into the all-important imperative mood, which I hope you'll be able to make because it is essential. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this book is so amazing. There's just so much. And we thank you, Father, for opening our eyes to things you would have us to see this morning. About how inside of this old body of ours is this big old oven with a lot of leaven in it that we got to get out. A lot of agitation. A lot of corrupting of who we are in Christ. Pray, Father, you'll take the things that we've seen, let them become a reality to us, that we may be who we are in Christ in our lives, and experience the love, the joy, the peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name, and for His sake and glory. Amen.